So you see, friends, in order to come to a true, a right, proper knowledge of yourself, then it's to God's Word. It's a reflection that you get in the mirror of God's law that gives you the true heart condition. Heart deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, says God. Hearts that are diseased, and of course hearts that are estranged, are alienated from God. And of course that's the reason why, well, number one, you need the Bible. You need to know what God is like, what He requires of you. And of course you need to know, well, your true self, because without a true knowledge of yourself, an understanding of your sinful and diseased condition, well, you're never going to know, understand your need of God's salvation. But of course, from beginning to end, that really is the essence of the Bible, the revelation of God's redemption in His Son, Jesus Christ. How that God, in love, in mercy and kindness, sent His Son into the world, that through Him that the world might be saved. God so loved the world, the Bible tells us, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Salvation, redemption, you see, from a known disease, you see, a known condition. Your condition in sin, a deceitful heart, desperately wicked. A true knowledge of yourself, you see, brings a person to see their need of God's grace and salvation. And that grace and salvation, of course, is revealed in God's Son, Jesus Christ, and in Him alone. There is, you see, no other revelation of God but in His Son, Jesus Christ. Of course, I speak of God. I speak of the true and living God. I speak of the one that, well, that you know exists just the same as I do. You know, the God who made you, gave you your being, and the God who sustains your life. The God that puts bread on your table day by day. And the one of whom, as I say, holds your very next breath in the palm of His hand. You know that God exists just the same as I do. But of course, the majority, the masses of humankind, by one means or another, hold down, suppress the truth of the knowledge of God in unrighteousness. And it's for that reason that the wrath of God is revealed, being revealed against your ungodliness and unrighteousness. So friends, repentance is what is required of you. That you should turn from such a suppression of the truth, and that you should turn to the true and living God through His Son, Jesus Christ, to, in order to be saved, to know God's salvation. Of course, the Bible speaks about God's wrath as being revealed now in time, but of course the day is coming when it will be revealed. You know what you say, sir? See, my gospel, sir, it washed that mouth of yours out. It washed your mouth out. We'll just buy some soap, sir. Wash your mouth out. They can't speak, you see, without. They can't debate. They can't stop and talk. They can't back up, justify their arguments. And, of course, they can't speak without using expletives. You know, cussing and swearing. But of course, it's my gospel, you see. It's the enmity, you see, that lies in the hearts of all men. Enmity against God. Hostility against God, you see. That's where it comes from. And of course, the street preacher doesn't have to be here long. He doesn't have to be speaking for very long before somebody, you know, reveals that, expresses that enmity that's in their hearts against God. You see, friends, you're one of two things. You're either a natural spiritually reborn God lover. That's why Jesus says you must be born again. The heart, the nature has to be changed. That hatred, hostility, that enmity against God has to be removed. And it's only my gospel that can do that. The supernatural, you see, the miraculous working of God on the hearts of men and women, changing their hearts, giving them new desires, new loves, causing them to love what they should have loved all along, and causing them to hate what they should have hated all along. Hate sin and love God. But no one ever loved God, you see. No one ever hated their sin. No one ever turned from their enmity against God until they were born again. Only God can change your nature. Only God can take that out of your heart, the stony heart, you know, take it out of you and give you a heart of flesh. Circumcise your heart. You must be born again, says Jesus, because except a man be born again, he cannot see, he cannot understand the kingdom of God. Never mind enter into it. Because the Bible tells us, you know, there's something to be saved from. There's the enmity, there's the foolishness of your mind, there's the fallenness of your thinking. You know, it's because of your fallenness, because of your sin-darkened mind, that's why you embrace the notion of evolution. Such foolishness. No justification for it whatsoever. No scientific basis for it. It is the idea of a man, a fallen man, a sinful man, just the same as yourself, a God-hating man. Evolution never had its basis in science to begin with. It was philosophical to begin with, and it still is. Philosophical religion, a religious idea of men, you know, just another means, just another way by which men and women suppress the truth in unrighteousness because of their hatred of God, their enmity against God. But it's for such, you see, that the wrath of God is being revealed against all your ungodliness and righteousness in suppressing the truth of the knowledge of God. But here's the thing, friends. There's something to be saved from. Your fallen mind, your fallen thinking, your wrong-headedness, you need to be saved from that. You need to be saved from your sin and, of course, its effects upon you in this life, in this world. Bible speaks about the recompense, you know, of sin. Bible speaks about how sin destroys. God gives you over to more and more sin. The more you give yourself over to it, the more God gives you over to it. He punishes you with more sin. He says, that's the way you want to go? Okay, he says, I'll give you some more. And many, many of you already ruined in body, ruined in mind, ruined in soul as a result of your sin. It's the just recompense of your sinful lifestyle. But more than that, of course, there's the wrath to come. There's the judgment to come. There's the final visitation of God's wrath on the day of judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die, says the Bible. An appointment that you must keep. You cannot avoid. You got an appointment with the dentist, the doctor, the hairdresser. Pick up the phone. Cancel it. Send an email. Postpone it. Put it off to another time. But it's appointed for you to die once. There's a date, you know, marked in God's calendar. A decade, a year, a month, a day, an hour, a moment, marked in God's calendar when you'll breathe your last and go out of this world. It's appointed, you see, divinely appointed. It's appointed unto men once to die. Well, do you see then that's the end of it? All over then, finished. No one ever came back to tell us. We don't know what happens after death. Yes, we do. Jesus did. And he tells us clearly in his word, after this comes the judgment. Then you stand before Almighty God and you give account for every careless word, every vile word that you speak, every thought, every word, and every deed you give account for. Because we're all of us naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. A day of accountability, friends. A universal judgment when the entire world, to the uttermost parts of the earth, matters not where you come from, the east, the west, the north, the south, matters not what your color, your creed, your background. Sin is a universal problem. You'll find it wherever you find men and women. Sinners to a man, to a woman. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None righteous. You claim to be good persons. You say, I'm a good person. You say, there's nothing wrong with me. You say, I never sinned. You say, God ought to let me into heaven. I'm a good person, really. How many lies have you told? How many times have you lusted after the opposite sex? That's adultery of the heart. You ever stolen anything big or small? You are excluded from the kingdom of God as a result of your unrighteousness, as a result of your sin. Friends, all naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom you must give account. Friends, God sees it all, knows it all. None righteous, he says, no, not one. None who understandeth, none who seeketh after God, all together become unprofitable out of the way, out of God's way, that is. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death, friends. The way of death. Universal judgment to the uttermost parts of the earth. All men will stand before God and give account in that day. All ranks of people, matters not what your station in life. You might be a king, and you might be a road sweeper, but everybody faces the grim reaper. All stand before God, friends. Your money, celebrity status, or the lack of it, whatever you might be, a beggar, a pauper on the street, every single man, woman, and child, all classes will be judged by Almighty God in that day. The priest and the politician, the poor, all people, all will be brought to judgment in that day. And that, my friends, is what you need to be saved from. Because without my gospel, without the Son of God, without Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save sinners, without Jesus Christ, who died that atoning death on the cross, you cannot be saved. But here is the gospel, my friends. The gospel that you seldom hear in the most of your churches in the city of Nottingham today. Christ died for the ungodly. Christ, a person, you see, the Son of God, demonstrated, proved to be the Son of God by the power of his resurrection from the dead. A person, you see, not a religion, not an instituted religion, not a world religion. Friends, it is not one heap worth of revelation of the knowledge of God in any one of your world religions. And there's not a heap worth of salvation in any one of these religions either. Outside of the gospel, outside of my gospel, outside of the gospel of God, the gospel according to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, there is not one iota of salvation. Only in the gospel, only in the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. Christ who died on a Roman cross some 2,000 years ago. Well, you see, there were thousands of guys died in Roman crosses 2,000 years ago. Sure there was. But only one who was the Son of God, only one who was an appointed Savior, only one who was dying a death he didn't deserve to die, you deserve. Only one who was dying in the place of others. He died, friend. He gave up his life and he took it again. He rose again from the dead. No one ever did that before, and no one ever did that since. Only Jesus Christ, only the Savior, whom I declare to you here this afternoon. And who did he do it for? He did it for the ungodly. You see, what does it mean to be ungodly? It means to be contrary to God in your nature, the nature in which you're born, the nature in which you come into this world, naturally born. Contrary to God, at variance to God, at variance to His holiness, at variance to His law, every which way contrary to God. That's what it means to be ungodly and contrary to God in your practice too, because out of your nature, out of your sinful nature, out of your natural born condition comes all the ungodly behavior, comes all the ungodly speech, comes all the ungodly practice. So you see, friends, that's what you need to be saved for. And that's who Christ died for. Christ died for sinners. Just as the Old Testament of the Bible said that He would. So it happened, so it took place. And friends, dead and buried, and after the third day raised again from the dead, just as the Old Testament of the Bible said He would. That's the gospel, friends. Christ died for the ungodly to save you from the coming judgment, the wrath of God to come, to deliver you from it through faith in His name. Repent ye and believe the gospel is the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand, and the only way that you can enter into God's kingdom is in the way of repentance and faith. But here's the thing, friends, you cannot repent of yourself. That's an impossibility. You cannot believe of yourself. That's an impossibility. Well, you see, why does Jesus Christ command it? In order to bring you to that place of knowing, of understanding, of beginning to grasp that no, you can't do it yourself. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. He must give you the repentance. He must give you the faith. He must give it you to believe. Because these are gifts of God. But friends, no one ever repented and no one ever believed until they were born again. God must first breathe the breath of life into you, because you'd be dead. Not just a little bit dead, but totally and completely dead. Dead to God. Cut off from God. You're ready just to be rolled into the grave. Friends, dead in your trespasses and sins. But friends, that's not the end of it. That's not the death is not the end. Not by any means. And of course, that death can come upon you at any time. You just do not know what one single day will bring forth. You got a day coming tomorrow. You got it all planned out. You got the year planned out. You got your SASCO all charted up in the office. And you got it all planned out. You got your holidays all planned. Where you're going to go and what you're going to do all through the year. You might not even see tomorrow. Never mind the rest of the year. Maybe somebody under the sound, my voice here this afternoon, and this is your last day on planet Earth. I tell you, friends, there's a million ways in which God can take the youngest, the fittest, and the strongest of you out of this world in a nanosecond. Friends, your life is bound up with God. He holds it in His hands. It's His to preserve, and it's His to take away. You just do not know when your last day will come. And so the matter is urgent, friends, because when you fall out of this world, and you fall out of this world in your sin, in your natural born condition, never been born again, I tell you, the day will come when you will wish you had never been born at all. Friends, you must, as Jesus puts it, you must be born again. Because you fall out of this world in your sinful nature, state and condition, in your ungodly state. That's the way that you will remain for all eternity. Separated from God now in this world, but separated forever in the damnation of hell. So friends, there's something to be, believe me, there's something to be saved from. Listen to what the Bible says, the Word of God, in Isaiah the prophet, chapter 24, and verse 5. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. You see, my friends, there's the reason, there's the justification for God's judgment. Man, made in the image of God, made for friendship with God, but that covenant has been broken. Sin has come into the world by your first parents, my first parents, and that sin has spread to all men. It's where death comes from. Sin is sin's wages, the wages that you're earning day by day, and they'll be paid out to you in full. Lest, of course, there is repentance with you, lest there is faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ, lest you're born again, friends, you must be. Only way into God's kingdom, you must be born again. But you were created, you see. You were made for this bond of friendship with God. Created to freely serve and enjoy God. Chief end of man, the chief purpose of man. Not happiness. Oh, you see, I just want to be happy, you know. Doesn't matter if it makes me happy. What if I fornicate? What if I sodomize? What if I steal? What if I rob others? What if I gossip? What if I do all the ungodly stuff? What does it matter if it makes me happy, you see? Friends, happiness is not the main purpose of your existence. It's to glorify and enjoy God forever. But that covenant has been broken. That bond of friendship with God has been broken. And now, because of your sinful state and condition, you're an enemy of God, cut off from God. But the Bible says that Christ died, speaking of course to Christians, says that Christ died for the ungodly while we were still enemies of God. Christ died for such, you see, in order to reconcile you to God. That bond of friendship can be repaired. Reconciliation is a possibility. Why? Because Christ died for the ungodly, that's why. Because Christ has made peace by the blood of His cross. But that peace has to be received by you voluntarily, willingly, consciously, deliberately, in faith. It has to be received, or it never becomes yours. And you receive the peace of God, how? In the reception of God's Son. He came to His own, but His own received them not, but to as many as did receive Him. To them He gave the right, He gave the power to become children of God. That's how you come into the family of God. That's how you get reconciled to God. Through faith in His name. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Reconciliation is a possibility. But that's the justification for God's judgment that will come to all men sooner or later. Coming soon, friends. That bond of friendship has been broken, and now you're an enemy of God, and peace must be made, and only can be made through God's Son, Jesus Christ. Created, man created in the image of God, suitable for friendship with God, but now that image is lost. Now you find yourself, because of your sinful state and condition, your natural born state, friend, not just an enemy of God, but in the image of the enemy of God, the arch enemy of God, Satan. You bear the image of Satan instead of the image of God. When you do the lie, when you tell the lie, when you believe the lie, well, you're operating in the realms of the devil, of Satan. He's the father of lies. He was a murderer from the beginning, says Jesus. You see, you were not made. You were not made to bear that image. You were made to bear the image of God. You were made to bear the image of the truth. To speak the truth. To tell the truth. To believe the truth. But when you embrace the lie, when you exchange the truth for a lie, when you embrace evolutionary lies, when you embrace the philosophies of men and suppress the truth of the knowledge of God in unrighteousness, you're doing the lie. You're doing the very opposite for which you were created, in the image of God. But that's lost, that's gone. What is the image of God? A true knowledge of God. You don't even have a knowledge of the ABCs of the gospel. Never mind, you don't even know how to get right with God. Never mind the deep mysteries of God. No knowledge of God. Ignorance, darkness of mind. Blinded by the God of this age and by your sin. So you see, friend, the only one who can restore you to the right image, the only one who can restore you to the image of God, is God's Son, Jesus Christ. To my gospel, this is what the gospel does, and the gospel alone can do. Religion can't do this for you. Religion can't put the life of God into your soul. Islam can't do this for you. Buddhism can't do this for you. Confucianism can't do this for you. Roman Catholicism can't do this for you. JWism can't do this for you. Religion can't put the life of God into your soul. Only the gospel can do that. Only God's Son can do that. Religion can't put the love of God into your heart. Only my gospel can do that. Put the life of God into your soul. Make you a new creature in Jesus Christ. This is the part of the gospel. It's still for all modern man's thinking and all the nonsense of technology that abounds amongst you in advances in modern science. Friends, you still cannot live with one another. You still cannot live with yourselves, your own consciences. No, friends, you need the gospel. The gospel's still the power of God, the almighty power of God unto salvation, to restore you to the image of God, to restore you to a true knowledge of God, to restore you to holiness, to restore you to that image in which man was first created. But only my gospel, only the gospel can do that, friend. Here you are, man, woman, supposed to be in the image of God, but the very opposite. You ought to know God. You ought to have a knowledge of God. You ought to be living your life for God, devoted to God. But here you are, the majority of you, living your life, living out the lie, having exchanged the truth for a lie. Living on the basis of an unjustifiable evolution. I challenge. There we go again, you see? The expletives can't talk without it, can they? Now, friends, I challenge any one of you, give me a justification for the lie that you believe, for the lie that you live. You've exchanged the truth for a lie, and you live on the basis of this nonsense. It's not even a theory. It's a lie from the very pit of hell. say, what's science? Science is a conceptual tool, that's all. It doesn't produce, it doesn't give you truth. It doesn't give you knowledge. You need knowledge in order to do science. Well, if you live in a material, natural universe, pray tell me. Justify your basis for knowledge. Where do you get knowledge from? Out of a material, natural universe in order to do science. You cannot do science, you cannot do philosophy, you cannot do chemistry, you cannot do any of these things, friends, without God's revelation. God has revealed knowledge to us. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Jesus Christ. And because God has revealed knowledge to us, that's why we are able to do these things that we do. But here you are, cut off from God, separated from God, an enemy of God, the image of God in you destroyed. No knowledge of God, no understanding of the things of God, and living on the basis of this lie day after day with which you've been indoctrinated from childhood by ungodly parents, ungodly teachers, ungodly professors, ungodly media. You're indoctrinated with it. It's stuffed into you. Even your music, even your films, even Hollywood pumps it into you. Lies, lies, lies from the very pit of hell, and you live on the basis of a lie every single day. You've exchanged the truth for a lie, and you have no knowledge of God. The Bible says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And it goes on to give the reason why men say this, why they embrace this philosophy. It says, because they are corrupt. That's why you embrace the lie. That's why you walk in the lie. That's why you live the lie. That's why you say there is no God. Because you are corrupt. You've got a stubborn, rebellious nature. You come into the world, you're born. You come from your mother's womb with your fist in your maker's face in rebellion against God right from day one, friends. Because they are corrupt. That's why you embrace the lie. That's why you reject the truth. For no other reason. Corruption of your heart, you see. The rebellion, the enmity, the hatred of God. And that's why you must needs be born again, friend. That's why your nature must be changed. Not enough to be religious. Not enough to be religious. Anybody can be religious. You go to the synagogue, go to the mosque, go to the temple. You can become religious yourself. You don't need my help. You don't need God's help. You can do that yourself, friends. But you can't be born again yourself. That takes a supernatural, that takes a miraculous act of God, changing your nature, changing your heart, making you a new creature in Jesus Christ, and friends, giving you, restoring you to a knowledge of God and holiness. That's why the judgment of God. This is the case that God has against you, and that's why He's going to bring all mankind universally. He's going to bring them to judgment one day. Because you see, God drew the line. God revealed His righteous, holy character and standards in His law. You see, and in those commandments, God draws the line in the sand. But because of your corrupt and rebellious nature, you say, no, I ain't going to live that way. I'm going to live the way I please. And so you cross the line. You cross the line. That's what sin is. It's transgression of the law of God, you see. You've missed the mark. That's what sin is. missing the mark, not even hitting the target. Never mind the bullseye. All have sinned and come short of the target that God has set for humankind. You see, straying from God's way, hating God's law, trampling it underfoot, saying, you know, nah, I'm going to do it my way. But your way will lead you to judgment. Your way will lead you to the damnation of hell. Your way will lead you to the full, final, consummate wrath of God. Lest you repent and believe my gospel, you cannot be saved. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ can save you from the coming judgment of God. You see, it's deliberate. It's deliberate. Deliberately, willfully crossing the line and choosing your own way. Well, it might seem right to you. It might seem good to you. But it's the way to death, says God. It's the pathway to destruction. It's the pathway to judgment. And friends, I call upon you this afternoon in Nottingham City to turn from your way. This is repentance, you see. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and return unto the Lord. Align your thoughts with God's thoughts. That's the way to salvation. It's a turnaround, you see. It's what the Bible calls repentance. A change of mind. A change of direction. A change of living. And friends, avoiding the judgment of God as a result of your rebellion and your sin. But the transgressors, you see, it's a universal problem. All have sinned. There is no escapees, friends. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yourself and myself included. Sin is a universal problem, but the gospel is the universal answer to it. Oh, it doesn't mean to say that all men will be saved, head for head. No, only those chosen by God. Only those to whom salvation is given by God. It's the gift of God. God gives it to whomever pleases. You see, it's by grace, the Bible tells us, and by grace alone, the sovereign free grace of God, that a person is saved, and God imparts his grace to whosoever he pleases to give it to. Repentance is the gift of God. Faith is the gift of God. It's all of God. Friends, all you can do is cry out to God, that he might have mercy upon you. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Maybe, perhaps, he will come to you and visit you with his salvation. But all men, you see, without exception, all covenant rejecters, covenant breakers, wicked apostates from God. The heart is only and continually evil all the time, says God. The natural heart and condition of men and women. But of course, got something? Yeah, what do you want?
You're completely correct on this.
Say again?
Completely correct on this.
Oh, yeah.
There's heliocentrism, also the lie.
Yeah.
500 years since Copernicus.
Right.
His face is flat, brother.
God bless you, sir.
Aye, you're right.
So, yeah, I'm okay, sir, yeah. I'll soon finish.
With your microphone, you can preach, but with your microphone, I've got coroner's court up here.
Yeah.
And I've got officers up here, and they're both complaining.
I'm not making as much noise as these guys here with the works.
It is, but with amplified sound, that's different. That comes under a different law. Freedom of speech is fine. for amplified sound. If I can hear it and I'm getting complaints, I need to turn it down.
I'm not making any more noise than the ones that are making.
I've had complaints.
Tell them to go away, sir. You should have said, man, tell them to go away. They're only complaining because of the content, sir. If I was here
blasting,
I was here playing music, nobody was that annihilated. Yeah, you know that, and I know that. Well, I'll soon be done anyway.
You came in speaking to
yeah, thanks very much. I won't be long, yeah.
Right, well, so I won't be long. Give me your name, and then I'll keep it in reference to the future.
Okay, Jimmy Hamilton.
Yeah,
Reverend, Reverend Jimmy Hamilton. Have a good day, sir, eh?
Speaking
to you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
I'm a Christian man.
Oh, good, good, good.
I've
good for you. Good. So like I was saying, friends, you know, everybody has the work of God written in there. Here's the thing, you know, you say you believe in evolution, but you live by some moral standards, you know. Let me put a question to you. Is it wrong for a man to rape a woman?
Yes.
Of course you say it is. Yeah, well, where do you get that standard from? You know, if you're an evolutionist, you think it's wrong for one man to murder another man? Of course it is. You believe, you know, you've got this moral standard that you cling to, yeah? But at the same time, you say that you believe in evolution. Friends, if you're an evolutionist, rape and murder, isn't that just survival of the fittest? You see, that's what you say that you believe, but you don't really, because you cling to this moral standard of yours. On what basis? What justifiable basis do you have for your moral standard? There was a German philosopher about 100 years ago, a guy called Nietzsche. Yeah, he was an atheist, so-called, and he berated his English atheistic friends. He said to them, he said, you say that you're atheists, and he says you cling to your moral standards. He says that's from the Bible. Get rid of it. You can't be an atheist and cling to your moral standards. But you do. You do. You see, friends, it's unjustifiable. You have the works of God written in your heart. You see, you do. You do the things, you know. You do them quite naturally because they're written in your heart. You go into the deepest jungle where there's never been a Bible, there's never been a church, they've never heard the revelation of God. And here's the thing, friends. You hear them, you find them doing the works of God. They punish evildoers. They punish rapists. They punish murderers. Where do they get that from? Because they've got the works of God written in their hearts. Friends, it's contrary. Evolution, friends, it's a lie. It's unjustifiable. You've got a moral standard, and you cling to your moral standards. Why? Because you know that God is just the same as I do. And just the same as the rest of humankind does. But each and every sin, you see, every sin that you commit seals the fact, you see, the truth of the matter of which God speaks here. You're saying that you agree with sin, and you say that you disagree with God. You live contrary to God, you see. That's what it means to be ungodly. That's what it means to be, you know, separated from God. Your iniquities, your sin, that's what separates you from God, and that's what one day will bring you to judgment.
What? This is the first one.
Yeah.
Right,
I'll
complete that one. Thank you very much.
God bless you. And you. Have a good day, ma'am. Have a good day. So, you see, friends, it's a universal problem. It's a universal issue. Sin, you know, there are no exceptions, friends. Everybody's heart, every single man, woman, and child born into this world, polluted, corrupted right from day one. You don't have to teach your children to rebel. You don't have to teach them to lie. You don't have to teach them to stamp their feet, to have tantrums. They just do it quite naturally because they got the same nature as you. They got it from you. But here's the thing, friends, unless your nature's changed, unless you're born again, unless, friends, God works circumcision of your heart, takes the stone heart out of you and gives you a heart of flesh, unless God changes your nature miraculously, supernaturally, through my gospel, you remain, friends. You remain as you were born. You remain as you were conceived. And friends, you go out of this world in that state and condition. You remain that way for all eternity. Friends, if you breathe your last and your nature's never been changed, you breathe your last, you go out of this world. The Bible says the tree lies where it falls. There's no shifting it afterwards. And you go out of this world, you fall out of this world in your sin. That's how you lie for all eternity. There's no changing then. There's no second chances. There's no purgatory. That's the fiction of the popes in order to get more money out of you religious people. Friends, you must be born again. Jesus says so. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Oh, dear friends, that nature, that polluted, corrupt nature of yours must be changed. God give you new desires. Desire for Him. New love, the love for God. Take the hatred out of your heart. The hatred for God and the love for sin out of your heart. No one ever desired God. No one ever loved God. No one ever loved His Word until they were born again. But if you're not born again, friends, the time comes and you breathe your last, I tell you, you're lost forever. Now is the day. Behold, says God, now is the day of salvation. Day when men and women can enter God's kingdom. Day when men and women can be born again. Gospel made it possible. God's Son coming into the world, living and loving, dying and rising again from the dead, in order that you might be saved, in order that you might be born again, in order that through hearing the truth, believing the truth, receiving the truth, rejecting the error, rejecting the lie, that you might be reborn, born again to a living hope by the living Word of God, Jesus Christ Himself, the only Savior. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus says so. No other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. What?
Listen, mate.
What?
Religion is a personal thing. You can't drill it down people.
You have to swear.
I'm not.
Why are you always
shouting?
What do you mean I'm preaching the gospel, sir?
You're not preaching.
It's drilling
it down people's throats
and
fucking hear it.
Away you go, you filthy mouth. Go wash your mouth. So as I say in French, you know, the change of heart, you know, the enmity, you see, the enmity, you know, we get all the time. You know, it's just where the language comes. They can't talk, you see. They can't come and speak to you, you know, without cursing and swearing, you know. Friends of heart, in order to, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, says Jesus. You change the heart. You want to make the fruit good, you got to make the tree good. You want to make the man good, you got to make the heart good. You got to change the heart. It's the heart of the problem. Friends, in this country, we have what we call free speech. Yeah? Anybody anybody can stand in the public arena and they can speak their mind. Yeah? We have freedom in this country. Unlike other countries, we have the freedom to stand in the public place and preach the Word of God. What you do with it is your business, your personal business. But I urge you, call upon you, friends. Repent and believe the gospel. Avoid the judgment of God. Avoid the wrath to come. Avoid the displeasure of God. Get on the right side of God. Get on the smiling side of God. The loving side of God. Repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. There's a gospel. There's the truth. The truth of God's word. Able to make you wise for salvation. Able to heal your sin-sick heart. Able to reconcile you to God. The gospel, the gospel, the gospel. The power of God unto salvation. For all who are religious, no. All who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. His command, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Repent ye and believe the gospel, he says, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy, and show pardon. Pardon for your sin. Come now, saith the Lord. Let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. You say, how come? Because Christ died for sinners, died for the ungodly, died to bring you to God, reconcile you to God, to cleanse you in his precious blood, make you a new creature in Christ. Come to him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, come to Jesus today. Trust in Jesus. Believe him. Obey the gospel, friends. God's command. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Nottingham, hear me. Hear